best of the KCMQ Morning Shag Podcast. Listen live weekdays starting at 5:30 a.m. Only on 96.7 KCMQ and KCMQ.com.
Will I never learn from my mistakes?
What have you done now?
I'm so tired this morning. I'm exhausted. And it's because right before we went to bed, we decided to watch a movie, and I got to choose, and I picked Train to Busan.
Train to what?
Busan.
Busan, okay.
Now, we have a fellow coworker here by the name of Hannah that likes horror movies. Well, she says she likes horror movies, but then when I watch really terrifying ones, I tell her about them, and then she says she's too scared to watch them.
Oh.
So she's a half-assed horror fan.
You're just calling her out right now.
Yeah,
okay.
That'd be a good nickname, Hannah the half-assed horror fan.
Wow, okay, that's not... Hannah's very nice.
She is, and she kept telling me about this Train to Busan. You have to watch... Oh, you haven't seen Train to Busan? It's so good. And then I started doing some searches on it, and it actually ranks very highly on horror movies and zombie movies.
Oh, okay.
Because it's all a zombie film.
Yeah.
It's about a father who's a workaholic and his young daughter doesn't want to stay with him anymore. She wants to go with her mother to the point where she keeps saying she'll ride the train by herself because her dad won't take her.
Okay.
So, you know, a lot of child and mom guilt works out that dad's like, okay, I'll take you to your mom for your birthday. And they get on the train right during the zombie outbreak, like before they know anything's wrong.
Right.
And it's pretty much a zombie apocalypse in a claustrophobic setting of a train. It's like Snowpiercer with zombies.
Okay, all right.
Which, it's a South Korean film, so you got to read subtitles. But the zombies and their take on them and how quickly they turn and how quickly they move... It was really good.
Oh, okay.
Like, really good, to the point where I don't even want to admit that Hannah told me about it. Because she's a half-assed horror fan.
But she did good this. So you don't want to give her credits for this? I mean, like, this would show improvement of half-assed Hannah. Maybe she's three-quarters.
Well, selfishly, I want to take credit for stumbling across
it, gosh.
Even though it's
all
not
right.
The truth.
Wow.
But the reason I'll never learn is because the movie stopped, ended at like 9 p.m. And that's well past my bedtime your alarm goes off at 4.
Right.
So it's like, oh God, we got to go to bed right now, babe. After watching a 2-hour, highly entertaining, highly anxiety-filled panic attack of a zombie movie.
Right, you're not getting to bed.
And I fell asleep. I usually fall right asleep, but I was on that train for the 7 hours I was trying to sleep before my alarm went off.
Oh, gosh.
So I feel like I'm walking around in a zombie daze because of Train to Busan. And
right.
If you're a fan of horror, if you're a fan of zombies, I even got done with it and I looked at the fiancé and said, you know what? That ranks up there as one of the best zombie films I think I've ever seen.
Okay. Wow. That's great.
It's that good.
Okay.
It's on Netflix. It's the South Korean. So again, subtitles, but it's Train to Busan.
And if you're trying to get your significant other to watch it with you, please do not say Shags told me to watch it. Please say Hannah that works with Shags recommended this movie.
Tell him, yeah, I know this gal, Hannah, the half-assed horror fan, okay, and she says this is really good.
Don't throw her under the bus like that, man. She did good.
She still needs to watch Marianne before she can be a full-blown horror fan.
Oh, okay. Excuse me. Before then, maybe she could be three-quarters Hannah at that point.
Yeah, right now it's half-assed Hannah.
Fantastic. All right.
Aha moments in the morning. It's top of the hour shower thoughts with the Morning Shag.
Saying you were born on the last day of February does not reveal your birthday.
Adam and Eve are the original house guests who overstayed their welcome by eating their host's food after specifically being asked not to.
Shower thoughts with Lee's Tire Company. If it's round and rubber, Lee sells it at leestirecompany.com.
If you're anything like me, playing dumb comes a little too naturally. So this is actually a welcomed news that a new study found that playing dumb is one of the best ways to get out of a speeding ticket.
What?
Why does it never work for me? Researchers asked people to name various excuses they've used and whether they worked or not on getting out of a speeding ticket. Here are the excuses that work best. Because I don't know about you, if you traveled all this weekend, the cops were thick.
Oh, they were. Oh, yeah.
Holy smokes. I thought I was getting pulled over for sure one time and got very lucky. Because I was going under the speed limit.
Oh, is that right?
So here are the excuses that work best to get out of a speeding ticket. Number one, I didn't realize I was speeding.
Oh, sure.
They say it works 32% of the time.
No.
And it's the most popular excuse we use.
No, there is no way that works.
I think that's just a numbers game.
That's gotta be, because most people, I think, would say that, right? Like, I mean, like, 9 out of 10 people would say, oh my gosh, I had no idea I was speeding. I'm so sorry. And there's no way that the officer each time is like, well, they didn't know. Well, I mean, if they didn't know, I mean, they didn't know.
Well, and again, it's only a third of the time it'll actually work to get you out of a ticket.
Still.
And if it's the most popular excuse, you're just playing a numbers game at that point.
Yeah, I don't buy that one.
Number two, I'm late for work.
Yeah.
It works about 20% of the time.
Okay, so at least there's a legitimate reason behind it, and you acknowledge, okay, yes, I was speeding, and it's because I'm late for work. I don't know if that also would be an excuse that the officer would be like, oh, you were late for work. Well, that's understandable.
Oh, my bad.
Well, here, would you like an escort? Let's lights and sirens and get you to work because you're late.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because the next excuse, which you shouldn't be using as an excuse, there's a medical emergency. 20% of the time, it works.
See, yeah,
I find that more depressing that it only works 20% of the time. Like, what if it's an actual medical emergency? Like, yo, I gotta get to the hospital. We got some serious issues happening,
right,
either in the car or to someone I love. I don't got time for this nonsense.
See, at that point, I would say yes. If that is true, then it should be verified by the officer escorting you to the hospital. And then the officer, like, checking, like, up with you of, like, okay, yes, here's a serious thing, and then they realize it, right? Like, they kind of verified that there was a medical emergency.
And you keep talking about police escorts. You realize if you just don't stop, you will have a police escort all the way to your destination.
That's true. I don't know if that's how you want to get the police escort, though.
Look, there's another one behind me now. They're really helping
me
out.
Yeah, that's not, I don't think that's how you want that.
Number four of the most likely excuses to get you out of a ticket, I really have to use the bathroom.
See, this one I've always felt had some merit.
17% of the time it will work.
I am going to mess myself. I am trying to avoid that, and I need to get to the closest bathroom. Please help me.
I got dairy butt officer. Oh, in that case, hit the road, son.
Right, you may go now.
Number five was I didn't see the speed limit sign. That works 17% of the time, but that also doesn't work when you're going 85 in like a 60-mile-an-hour zone.
Right, yeah. I mean, like that might work if you're going 45 in a 35 or something, but if you're like blatantly speeding, that's not going to fly.
Now, a few that ranked lower include, I'm going the same speed as everyone else, I'm late picking up my kid, I'm late for the doctor, and I'm late for court. You probably shouldn't use the I'm late for court with an officer, because it's just showing bad decision-making at its core.
Yeah, there's a pattern that's developing now.
But Trevor, if you don't want to lie, because I know you struggle with it, you don't have to, because there's one honest strategy that works even better. Just ask the cop to give you a warning instead of a ticket. There's a 41% chance they'll do it.
Really?
Yeah, right.
I guess at that point you'd have to fess up to it, right? You would have to admit, I'm sorry, I acknowledge I was speeding. If you could please see it to give me a warning, I would greatly appreciate it. I feel like if you do that, if you're humble and you're polite and you weren't like really, really recklessly speeding, I could see that working.
I'll just stick with my chances of lying to the police instead of telling them the truth.
Good, right. I really gotta go to the bathroom.
I've learned nothing.
What the?
Time now for the KCMQ Morning Shag WTF News.
For the first time since the Titanic sank 108 years ago, explorers are being allowed to cut into the wreck and remove something from it. How much you want to bet they go for that naked sketch of Kate Winslet?
That's not, all right.
Up for grabs, boys.
No, all right, never mind. Kellogg's is creating a Fruit Loops and Frosted Flakes mashup. The working title for the new creation will be Diabetes.
Diabetes. And finally, a video has surfaced of four men fist fighting at a Florida Home Depot. The men were quickly arrested and charged with one count of falsely impersonating a Florida Walmart.
The best of the KCMQ Morning Shag with Shags and Trevor podcast.
I've been on this planet for 42 years, and apparently I've been eating ice cream wrong for all 42.
Can you eat ice cream wrong?
According to experts in sensory science, you can. They came up with a 7-step process that's supposed to give you the ideal ice cream eating experience. Okay. Now, the downside, it takes a little bit longer and seems pretentious. But if you're really serious about your ice cream, here are the steps.
Okay.
I'm sure someone with dairy butts very excited.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. No. Yeah. I'm taking notes.
It would be step one: eat your pills.
Right. Indeed. Yes. That is first and foremost.
But for everyone else, step one is take it out of the freezer and let it defrost for about 15 minutes. When it's too cold, the aroma molecules don't release. And smell plays a huge role in how things taste.
So growing up, my dad used to eat ice cream as soon as we got home from the grocery store because it was kind of melty. It was really soft. And I think it was a texture thing for him more than it was aroma. But he used to do that all the time. Probably still does.
See, I'm the guy that's going to bend your silverware because I'm digging in when it's rock hard. I don't give a bleep. Your spoon's going to be U-shaped, but I'm going to love me some ice cream.
Great.
Number two on the list is don't take too big a bite. Half a teaspoon per bite is ideal. Wrong. Again, largest spoon you have, bent in the shape of a U, is the perfect.
There's some willpower to this that I don't know people have. I mean, like, so you have to take it out and let it sit on the counter for 15 minutes. Then you have to, like, measure out how much ice cream you actually put on the spoon. Like, who are these people?
Number three, place the spoon upside down in your mouth so the ice cream hits your tongue first.
I've done that. That's not crazy.
Well, aren't you fans?
Well, I'm sure you have too. I'm sure everyone's done that.
Then you need to roll the ice cream around in your mouth and pay attention to how smooth, creamy, texture, how it feels.
Right.
And finally, not even finally, what am I thinking? This is only step five.
Oh, geez.
Breathe in through your mouth while the ice cream is in there. The air passing over it helps it hit more of your taste buds.
That is apparently also a trick in wine tasting as well, which is gross because it's people you can hear people like breathing in with the liquid. It's very awkward. Very awkward.
Now don't swallow too soon, Trevor. 12 seconds in your mouth is ideal.
12 seconds? Goodness.
You got to let it hit every taste bud, man.
Again, the willpower in this.
And then step seven is just repeat with each bite to build up a, quote, full ice cream taste profile.
Okay, eating ice cream is supposed to be fun, not work. And this seems like work.
I don't know, man. I'm just used to flipping the lid off the tub, throwing it away, because you know you're not going to need to use it again.
Oh, my gosh, no.
And just burying your face right in it.
That's not. That's...
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Your morning epiphany. The KCMQ Morning Shag presents Top of the Hour Shower Thoughts.
With everything being the subscription-based model, we're actually kind of lucky that we don't have a subscription fee for our email addresses.
Every room is an escape room. They just have varying degrees of difficulty. Get me out of here!
It's okay. Open the door. I mean, it's not that hard.
I don't know the code!
It's no code. Shower thoughts. It's with Lee's Tire Company. If it's round and rubber, Lee sells it. LeeTireCompany.com.
There ain't no laws when you're drinking the claws at COVID Cove, Lake of the Ozark.
Oh, my gosh.
Is it Party COVID Cove?
I think the thing that I've heard is just COVID Cove.
So I guess you can't spell COVID without VD, and that's where the Come Lake on. Of the Ozark comes in. There was a Memorial Day pool party that's gone viral after it didn't look like anyone was social distancing. I saw this through some social media pages on Instagram and Facebook, and I told the people I was with, like, hold on, Missouri's about ready to make national news. Less than an hour, TMZ was reporting it. Then everyone got a hold of it. We were Fox News, CNN, USA Today, CBS, NBC, The Washington Post. We are everywhere.
Yes, I heard it on national news this morning. And we talked about it actually on Friday. We were talking that we were speculating, seeing reports that the lake was expecting to have a massive weekend.
I warned you, sons of bitches.
Okay. All
right. The Camden County Sheriff, Tony Helms, said in a statement that it was a record weekend at Lake of the Ozark, but that a lack of social distancing is not a crime, and that his department had no authority to enforce it, that public health violations are up to health authorities.
Interesting. I defer to him. I have no idea who has the authority in that situation. I feel like, though, because I think the governor's the one who has been saying, like, hey, we need to keep 6 feet apart, but I don't know if that's an official order or not, necessarily.
He went on to say that we expect residents and visitors alike to exhibit personal responsibility at the lake.
Well, that wasn't
You're
happening.
You're the sheriff! Is this your first time at the lake?
Okay, all right.
You expect people to be held responsible for that their own actions?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a good look. Was not a good look. I mean, to the point to where health officials in both Kansas City and St. Louis have actually stated that if you were at the Lake of the Ozarks, we would like you to self-quarantine for 2 weeks.
Well, what a perk that is. You had an amazing weekend, because I saw the pictures. You can see them on our Facebook page, KCMQ Morning Shag. I mean, they're butts to nuts. I mean, it's insane how full some of those pools are.
Yes, it's true.
So you get a party your ass off and then go back to St. Louis or Kansas City and they're like, oh no, you got 2 more weeks off. I'm like,
oh my gosh.
Okay.
No.
That worked out.
That's not the way to be thinking about it. Yep. But it happened. It happened. and rest assured, probably gonna happen again this weekend. I mean, right? I would think.
It's not called the Show Me State for nothing.
Okay, all right. Yep. Ahem.
What the? Time now for the KCMQ Morning Shag WTF News.
There are many Americans that haven't seen or touched another human being in 3 months. Science has come up with a term for these people. It's called being married.
Okay, wow. Robert Kraft's Super Bowl ring auctioned for $1 million. Since the buyer had to be rich and desperate for a ring, I'm guessing Tony Romo bought it.
Okay, that's a good joke. I like a Tony Romo burn, but here's my take. Robert Kraft's Super Bowl ring auctioned for $1 million. Kraft is doing the right thing, donating it to a local charity, his favorite massage parlor.
Oh, come on. That...
Bada bing, bada boom. Good.
Follow Shags and Trevor on their Facebook page, KCMQ Morning Shag and KCMQ.com. Thanks for listening to the best of the KCMQ Morning Shag podcast.
If you're running out of things to blame your parents for, you're in luck. I got a new one.
What?
A recent study in the Journal of Pediatrics, because that's how I spend my free time.
Right, of course.
Reading journals from pediatrics.
Perusing in your study.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sipping fine teas. On the rotunda. They found that if you're a really picky eater, it might be your parents' fault.
Oh, wow, really?
That roughly 1 in 7 kids fell into the category of very, in all caps, very picky eaters, where they'd refuse to eat vegetables or were really nervous about new foods.
Mm.
Well, the researchers found that kids were less likely to grow out of their picky eating habits if their parents were strict with things like clean your plate before you get up from the table about certain foods. I don't know about you, Trevor, but that's the household I grew up in.
I mean, we were very big in not wasting food. And I recall certain times where my parents would say, no, you need to finish that.
No, we used to have, because this may surprise you, but I was a bit stubborn as a child.
Really?
I know, right?
What?
Yeah, hard to believe.
No.
And Dad and I would get into these fights at the dinner table of like, I'm not going to eat my asparagus. Well, that's all you get. You're not getting anything else until you finish it. And me going, oh, yeah, oh, I won't eat then. Like, thinking I was going to do a hunger strike.
Good.
At like 10 years old.
Right.
Like, so, literally, two options would happen. One, I wouldn't be able to leave the dinner table until it was finished. Or two, he would literally put that same plate in the fridge, and that's what would show up for breakfast. And after trying to eat, like, cold, that's, like, the stuff you don't like, but it's cold.
Right.
The next morning, it's even worse.
Oh, God, yeah.
So, it was like, well played, Dad. I'm going to have to choke these down now at the dinner table.
Ugh.
But they also talk about how rewarding kids can backfire as well. For example, telling a kid they can have ice cream if they finish their broccoli can actually make them hate broccoli even more.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but, weird.
But they suggest creating pleasant experiences with food, like having them help you make broccoli or showing them how much you like it. As long as you don't force it on them, they might come around.
I could see that, a level of, you know, just, it's your decision, right? Like, I'm not forcing you, I'm not pressuring you into this. I really enjoy it, but you don't have to if you don't want to, and then maybe they see how much you enjoy it and go, oh, well, I mean, yeah, I'll give it a shot, see how it goes.
It seems like you just grow out of it. Like, as a kid, of course, no kid loves vegetables.
No.
But like when I was mentioning asparagus, I love asparagus now.
Oh, right, yeah.
I would have fought my dad tooth and nail not to eat asparagus as a kid. Even like blue cheese. I had a blue cheese burger yesterday from Billiards. Shout out, Billiards. And you would have never, in a million years, got me to eat blue cheese as a kid.
No, it's true. Our taste buds when we're kids, like very, very sensitive to bitter. We hate it when we're kids, the bitter tastes. And then as we grow older, bitter starts to become something that is more complex flavor profiles, which is why adults tend to like coffee, tend to like beer, tend to like vegetables, like all those things that have these bitter notes.
And is there anything worse than a grown-ass adult being like a very picky eater? I get it with kids, be like, all right, whatever, it's a phase. But I've met a couple of people like, oh, no, I can't eat that. What? You can't eat a piece of broccoli? Oh, God. I was like, you were 40 years old. You're 40. Eat some broccoli and shut the bleep up. You're never invited back.
Wow. Wow. Okay. Oh, right.
Force it down. If you're not allergic to it, shut your mouth.
I think you may have adopted some of your dad's traits here. I'm just throwing that out there.
It will be in the refrigerator waiting for you for breakfast.
Moments of clarity from the shower. It's the KCMQ Morning Shag's Top of the Hour Shower Thoughts.
Swimming is the perfect exercise for those who are nervous about sweating too much.
The cake cutting ceremony at weddings are nothing more than public executions for cakes.
Shower thoughts with Lee's Tire Company. If it's round and rubber, Lee sells it. LeeStireCompany.com.
As more and more stores are requiring face masks to enter, people have had to get creative on what they consider a face mask. That one woman, after being told she would not be served without a mask, was videotaped on security cameras, dropping her pants, taking off her underwear,
no,
wrapping it around her face,
oh, God,
pulling her pants back up, and going, will you help me now?
Okay.
It literally shows a woman approaching the counter without a mask on. She starts talking to a worker before gesturing to someone outside. The woman then takes the unusual step of pulling down her leggings before whipping off her undies in full view of everyone. And then she just casually places them around her face and continues talking.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So, I guess that's better, but I feel like it's not. I feel like it's not at all. I feel like that's worse, in fact.
That witnesses say the woman in the video is a local and a mother of two who is angered at being asked to wear a face mask by staff.
All right. I get it. It's inconvenient. And I mean, as a guy who wears glasses, I hate it because it fogs up my glasses very easily. It's a pain. I understand. But come on, really?
Quite honestly, I don't know the difference between a store having a sign that says no shirt, no shoes, no service, and a sign that says, hey, put a mask on. I don't understand the difference between that.
From a legal standpoint, none, but...
Of why people are losing their bleeping minds over being asked just in stores. I mean,
right.
It's up to the store owners, but it's not the first time people have been spotted using unconventional face coverings during this pandemic that in March, apparently commuters were snapped wearing diapers, storage boxes, and plastic bags on their heads as an attempt mask.
That's not recommended at all.
And then even Canada. Up in Canada, people were spotted wearing plastic bottles on their heads amid a mask shortage.
Plastic bottles on their head? How do you do that?
I just imagine it being, you know, like the water cooler ones that you tip upside down.
Oh,
just
okay.
Cut the little nozzle part right. off, and you could probably stick that on your head.
Kind of look like an astronaut.
Yeah, walk around like a weird spaceman.
I'm wondering, like, could your head fit inside of, like, a milk jug? And you could, like, cut the bottom out of a milk jug and wear that as some sort of a weird helmet face shield type of thing.
I'm sure it could if you just tried hard enough.
You gotta want it, right? Yeah.
It does make me laugh, though. Could you imagine if this woman had just happened to wear a thong that morning? This story could have been a whole lot different.
I mean, she honestly seems like the kind of person who maybe doesn't wear underwear on a regular basis, so she was lucky she was wearing her underwear today.
And I think you got to advise a person in this situation, too, to make sure the front of the undies go to the front of the face.
That's, okay. All right.
That would be tip number one.
I don't know if there's a proper way to wear your underwear as a mask. I think any way you do it is going to be disgusting and wrong. To the point of, you know, maybe throwing it out there, you just go and get a mask so you don't have to wear your underwear on your face.
Clearly, we've learned right now we're all wearing masks. Just they're on the wrong end.
Okay, all right. That's,
Time now for the KCMQ Morning Shag WTF News.
There are many Americans that haven't seen or touched another human being in 3 months. Science has come up with a term for these people. It's called being married.
Okay, wow. Robert Kraft's Super Bowl ring auctioned for $1 million. Since the buyer had to be rich and desperate for a ring, I'm guessing Tony Romo bought it.
The best of the KCMQ Morning Shag Podcast. Listen live weekdays starting at 5:30 a.m. Only on 96.7 KCMQ and KCMQ.com.
Today may be the greatest day of the year.
Oh, my.
And it's not just because it's my fiance's birthday. Happy birthday, babe!
Happy birthday!
It's because it's National Burger Day.
Okay, all right. maybe you shouldn't say that to her, necessarily.
Which you can now use as your excuse to go get a burger and not cook.
Oh, okay, right.
Burger for breakfast, burger for lunch, and burger for dinner.
I mean, maybe just a burger for one meal is appropriate.
Now, a new survey asked Americans all about their burger preferences, and the results are not as shocking as I thought they'd be.
Oh.
But this one stood out, that 73% of people say they like burgers, with 18% saying they don't like them.
18% of people say they don't like burgers.
Yes. That is shocking to me.
What?
I wonder if that's the vegan crew. I just don't eat meat. But you can still get that really gross plant-based burger.
Okay, all right. Wow, that's, sure. I mean, but still, okay, so like vegetarians and vegans and people with dietary, you know, restrictions, be them voluntary or involuntary, that can't eat burgers, I mean, 18% of the population have that? That can't be.
The only excuse you can really have to not enjoy a burger is the Lone Star tick. The one that makes you allergic to red meat. That's only excuse I will accept for not liking a burger.
That's a rough one, too. Oh.
The most popular way we have our boogers.
Oh, my.
The most popular way, I prefer my boogers raw.
Oh, God.
The most popular way we have our burgers cooked.
Please don't do that.
Well done. 40% of people like it that way, 20% are medium well, and only 2% like them rare. A rare burger is a little gross for
me. Yeah, I don't go rare on burger. I mean, I would on steak. But I don't like it well. I don't like it, you know, all the way done. I mean, a little bit of you know.
Color.
Color, yeah, that's the word.
Yeah, because I don't want my burger bleeding all over my bun. I don't want my bun to turn red rum red on me. But I do enjoy a little pink there in the center.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's some juiciness to it, right? Like, I mean, I feel like when it's well done, a lot of the moisture comes out of the burger. And so I want that juicy flavor with it, so I don't want to cook it all the way.
The most common toppings? Cheese.
Sure, of course.
Ketchup, which you are disgusting human beings. Ketchup does not belong on a burger.
Oh, come on!
Mustard didn't even make the list.
What?
For the most common toppings, it's cheese, ketchup, lettuce, tomatoes, and onions. Who's putting ketchup on their burger? Shame on you!
Most people. A lot of people.
Shame!
Oh my gosh.
Are you 8 years old?
Wow. Wow.
That's disgusting.
It adds a flavor component to the burger.
The least common toppings out there, Thousand Island dressing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Just as gross as ketchup.
Wow, okay.
Ranch.
Ranch on a burger, yeah, I mean.
That's not bad.
I mean, I'm sure it's good, but it's not what I would go to. It's definitely not what I would go to.
People put hot sauce on their burgers.
Oh, people put hot sauce on everything.
And then we've all had eggs. That's an uncommon topping.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah.
That's your breakfast burger right there. If you're going to do the breakfast burger, that's how you do it.
Good egg on a burger. And then relish. Ugh.
No, don't put relish on a burger.
I've never been so disappointed in Americans before in my life.
Wow. Okay.
Ketchup, Thousand Island, and relish on a burger? Shame on you.
Wait a minute now. I thought the relish and the Thousand Island were the least favorite toppings.
They are, but they're still toppings.
Oh my
gosh. Shouldn't be. They shouldn't even be on the list.
Wow, that's...
Go out and enjoy yourself a burger on National Burger Day and add mustard, you animals.
Okay.
Aha moments in the morning. It's top of the hour shower thoughts with the Morning Shag.
Saying you were born on the last day of February does not reveal your birthday.
Adam and Eve are the original house guests who overstayed their welcome by eating their host's food after specifically being asked not to.
Shower thoughts with Lee's Tire Company. If it's round and rubber, Lee's sells at leastirecompany.com.
Well, we did our part, Trevor. The KCMQ Prize contributor... saved a marriage.
That we did. I'll tell you.
That's what we do here at KCMQ. We give you the chance to win other people's junk and save marriages.
This isn't junk. This is not junk. This is some of the greatest prizes Mid-Missouri has to offer. Including a tiger painting contributed by Jerry from Columbia, who told me yesterday when I went to pick it up that his wife did not want this in the house anymore. Ergo, vis-a-vis, concordantly, we saved a marriage.
And the painting is so cool, like it caught my eye, that I didn't even see it hanging up or anything. It's just kind of over with all the other prizes. I walked by it and I was like, what is that? And turned around. I was like, dude, that is incredible.
Right?
That's an amazing tiger painting.
It's really good. You can see a picture of it now up at kcmq.com along with all of the other contributed prizes, including a brand new gas and charcoal grill contributed by Anna Marie Hopkins of Columbia Real Estate.
So we could save your marriage as well. What's something that you think's cool, but your significant other hates? You can contribute it to the KCMQ Prize contributor.
Yes, you can. 735 and 335. Caller number 7 automatically becomes qualified to win all of the contributed prizes. However, you also have the option to contribute a prize yourself.
Now, we can't legally force you to contribute a prize, but maybe your wife can. Get all the details at kcmq.com.
Time now for the KCMQ Morning Shag WTF News.
HBO Max launches today. It's for those people who currently have HBO, HBO Go, and HBO Now, but still feel like they should pay a little bit more for HBO.
A man who spent 37 years in prison for a crime he didn't commit is one of the early favorites in the new season of America's Got Talent. His talent? Making a lovely toilet wine.
Or hiding things up his butt.
Okay, well, no? What?
A man in Thailand admitted to police that he stole more than 100 pairs of flip-flops and had sex with them. Come on, man. Cut this guy a break. He was just looking for his soul, mate.
Don't do that.
Wagga, wagga, wagga.
Oh, my gosh. Does everybody know what time it is?
For the first time ever.
At the same time.
Shags and Trevor on your schedule. I was getting late. The best of the KCMQ Morning Shag Podcast.
The newest way to get revenge on an ex is hiring a porn star to yell at them.
What?
This sounds so amazing.
What?
That, you know, there's really no limit to the human imagination when it comes to dreaming up ways to get back at an ex who did them wrong. And apparently the latest trend in revenge is something called spite porn.
Okay.
You hire a porn star to make a sexy video for your ex. But then, as the video starts getting real hot and steamy, the porn star suddenly starts berating your ex and telling them exactly why they're a horrible person.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right.
So there's a dominatrix named Allie Knox who has started specializing in making these videos. She charges $10 a minute.
Wow.
To make a video where she really lets your ex have it. And we got pictures of her up on our Facebook page, KCMQ Morning Shag.
Of course we do.
And she's a smoke show.
Oh, okay. Well, all right. That's good
looking
good.
Dominatrix.
That's nice.
That will sit there and yell at your ex.
Wow. Okay. And so the idea here is how do you get the video of this person berating your ex to your ex without tipping them off? I mean, do you just send them a videotape in the mail anonymously? Like, how does your ex receive it?
Oh my God, dude, do you live like in the 1950s?
What?
Who records it on a videotape?
I don't know. I'm
and
just
then uses
how
the
do you
post
send
office.
It? How do you send it
are
to
you
the person?
Are you calling the Pony Express? Does someone ride up in a horse to get your VHS, your beta tape to take it to your ex? You probably just email it to them. Send it through social media.
But that wouldn't be like
Dropbox
a red flag?
It.
That wouldn't be a red flag of like, I'm now receiving this email from my ex. And then you open it up and you realize, oh, whoa. This is a dirty movie or something. And ideally, hopefully, they continue to watch it to the point to where the actress starts actually berating them.
I mean, I think if it's still a fresh breakup, like if you're being so vindictive, you're sending an ex from like 5, 6, 7 years ago, probably not going to work. But if it's still fresh and new, I could see someone clicking on the link, hitting play on the video.
Maybe.
Like, oh, he's thinking of me. Not in the right way.
No, she's thinking of you, that's for sure.
And apparently, Allie Knox says she's really good at this.
Oh, okay.
That, quote, thanks to the men in my life that have sucked and given me so much material to work with.
Ah, okay. All right. This seems healthy.
Yeah, doesn't it?
Really, really healthy. If you can't tell, that's some heavy sarcasm I'm laying down. This is not healthy.
Yeah, I'm sure your psychologist that you'll eventually see because of this will be very happy with your life decisions.
Right. I mean, this is minimum 2 sessions to work all this out, for sure.
If you're interested in getting revenge on your ex, we got all the info on our Facebook page, KCMQ Morning Shag.
Fantastic.
Your morning epiphany. The KCMQ Morning Shag presents Top of the Hour Shower Thoughts.
With no context, Batman looks like a villain.
Truth. Finding bad reviews on a bulletproof vest is really hard.
Shower thoughts with Lee's Tire Company. If it's round and rubber, Lee sells it. LeeStireCompany.com.
What's an everyday skill that becomes suspicious if you're too good at it? I'd say being nice. You can't be overly nice or happy all the time without me being very suspicious of, like, you torturing pets when you get home.
All right, that might be a little much, but yes, I agree. We had a coworker who was that way. She was super nice all the time.
Like unbelievably
bubbly
nice.
All the time. And it got to the point where, like, you start thinking you're either being phony or you're covering something up. Like, this can't be you normally. And I mean, she worked she worked here over a year, and I think that's how she was. But it was weird.
And then she would go home and lower lotion in a basket down a well.
Come on. Oh my God.
Puts the lotion on the skin or it gets the hose again.
All right.
Jonathan, our Facebook page, KCMQ Morning Shag, says using a chainsaw.
Using a chainsaw really well? That can be suspicious? That.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you're like an arborist or a logger.
Still.
I mean,
be a bit suspicious.
Okay.
It's an everyday skill. What's an everyday skill that becomes suspicious if you're too good at it?
Right.
I would even say butchering.
Butchering makes sense, yes.
I mean, it's a profession. People do it as a hobby.
Right.
For hunting. They like to butcher and process their own meat. But yeah, if you see someone that's just whack, 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 deboning thing, you're like, ooh.
I'm intimidated at the minimum, right? Like, it's like, oh, okay, watch myself around you. 1-800-455-1967, an everyday skill that when you're really good at it, it's become suspicious. KCMQ.
I rolled a cigarette for my dad one time, and he was very suspicious.
Had a little practice.
Yeah, well, what did you learn how to do that? Hang on a minute.
We got a text at 1-800-455-1967 saying, eating a banana, Trevor. I've never seen anyone able to peel one without using their hands before.
Okay, all right. Number one.
I'm very suspicious of you, too, when you're eating a banana.
I eat a banana like everybody else, and I peel a banana like everyone else. I'm starting to think the people who are making these banana jokes at my expense, they're the ones you should be suspicious about. They keep bringing it up. Because you don't bring it up anymore. It was a thing that you brought up, and it was a joke, and it was funny. Now the listeners are doing it, and I feel like it's the same, like, three listeners who are just obsessed with the idea of me eating a banana, and that's what should be suspicious.
Oh, no, that guy or gal was a new texter.
Were they?
What everyday skill becomes suspicious if you're too good at it? Daniel, on our Facebook page, KCMQ Morning Shag, says, when someone is always getting out of trouble with the law. Daniel. That person is a snitch, and you should be suspicious. If you know someone that is always being arrested or is always in trouble with the law but never seems to go anywhere other than home, he is tattling on other people.
Wow.
That is snitching 101.
We'll end it there. You can continue the conversation on our Facebook page.
Be very suspicious, Daniel.
KCMQ Morning Shag, what is an everyday skill that becomes suspicious when you're really good at it?
Thanks for listening to the best of the KCMQ Morning Shag podcast.
Oh my God, are you crazy?
Hear more from Shags and Trevor weekday mornings on Classic Rock 96.7 KCMQ and KCMQ.com.